Welcome to Career Tools. Today's show, External Interviews and Careers. Today, we talk about the importance of external interviewing in career management and how to begin to handle the interview. Here we go. It's interesting. I know you run into this all the time as well as I do, because folks come up to me and they talk about, they have an opportunity to interview somewhere external to their company, right? So not for a job internally, but elsewhere, you know, in another company. And, you know, sometimes, most of the times it's something similar to what they're doing. And sometimes it's not though. Sometimes it's in a completely different field. And I don't know what your experience is, but my experience is most folks don't follow up on it. And it's a little shocking.
Yeah, I agree. And to me, what's funny is the number of people, and that's not funny, I guess. It just seems to me that there's an underlying misapprehension about what one should do. That I think a lot of people assume their first thought is, no, let's think, let's analyze, should I or shouldn't I? And when you start there, the chances of success, the chances of, it's clear to me that they're not thinking clearly about opportunities and so on.
Right. An opportunity. I mean, that's when you say success, that's what you mean, right? Which is having an opportunity, not necessarily a new job, but an opportunity.
Yeah. And I had a call recently and I says, yeah, you know, got this opportunity, not sure if I should go. And I said, well, I was just stunned. I said, of course you go. I mean, you just go. And, to me, it was one of those academic creep moments for me. It's like, okay, I know that. I've known it for a long time. Newer managers, younger people don't know it. Don't get upset that they don't know it. Just recognize, okay, we ought to do a podcast on this. I'm such an idiot, right?
Yeah, talking about opportunities, an opportunity for a podcast.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And look, if you don't remember, we did a podcast on the internal interview, and basically we said, always say yes for the opportunity. At least in part because saying no internally, right, to the powers that be can be or is the start of a potentially significant career statement. And the important thing to recognize is you can say yes to an interview and then say no to an offer if you get it. I think a lot of people, oh, well, if I go interview, then I'll get an offer and then I'll have to decide. And, you know, it's like, gee, if you give a mouse a cookie, he may have to pay for it. You know, I got a call from a very sharp engineer. He'd been asked to interview at another company for a sales position. He wasn't really sure about sales. No engineer ever seems to be sure about sales, much to most of their unknown chagrin. They don't realize that it could be a great move. And he wondered about the location as well. And as I was walking through the basics, I thought again, I said, hey, we haven't done this cast. I'm an idiot. I can, you know, stop being upset and let's talk about it.
Good. So what are we going to talk about today?
Yeah, four basic recommendations. Number one is go. Number two, we want to suggest that this is not an interview. This is career opportunity management, not interview management, if you will. Number three, don't worry as much as you think you should about changes in specialty or in industry. We're not saying you should change industries or change specialties, but too many people think, no, this is what I do in this industry, and therefore I should only entertain offers in this space, and that's not true. You never know. And the fourth thing is pretty simple. Keep quiet about it, right? This is your career. Nobody else is managing it. Nobody else needs to know these things.
Good. Now, the idea of simply saying go to the external interviewing opportunity is a pretty simple one. I suspect we don't have a lot here to say other than go. Really, what do you have to lose if you go? I mean, right, provided you're careful about the kind of operational security, if there is such a thing around this. And I think we probably need to talk about that a little bit. Other than that, if you're careful there's really nothing to lose and a lot potentially to gain.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. Maybe some people, you know, we don't talk about it here, but maybe some people say logistically it's hard. I don't know. I suppose that's possible. It would be weird. You know, the idea of, oh, I don't want to get on a plane. I don't want to go there. It's going to take 2 days. Yeah, okay. maybe. That's weird for me to hear as often as I'm on a plane, but nevertheless, I suppose that's an issue. But look, we'll address some of the other reasons for not going later, but let's be clear about the most important reason for going. Unsought external interviews make up a significant part of most executives' career decisions when they look back on their past. And this, in our opinion, based on corporations and individuals and so on, will continue to do so for the foreseeable future. Companies know that an offer to interview is part of what is considered a normal career and your management of your career. And the company considers them a pat on your back and a statement of interest in you and a quick saying no actually sends a message, not as strong as an internal interview being said no to, but it does send a bit of a message. We say go first because if you don't start with the idea of go, if you don't believe the fundamental first thought is I'll go and then work backwards from there as opposed to forwards from no, I don't, you inevitably get into an analysis of the opportunity versus your present job. And it's an analysis of the job versus your present job. And we've seen over and over and over again when talking to people about this, that comparing one's present job to a new unknown job is laden with failure. People do a really poor job at doing the analysis.
Why is that?
Yeah, because look, you'll be comparing something you know to something you don't. Yeah, whether your analysis says stay or go, it's going to be a flawed analysis. And frankly, I have to say to you, the thing that it's not really terribly critical here, but the thing that people use as the criteria is pay over and over and over again. And when I talk to people about pay, when I ask them, okay, tell me about future pay 5 years from now. And they say, well, I'm guessing at what the pay is at the present job. So how would I know 5 years from now? I said, look, if you're not looking at pay 5 years from now, and you're making all kinds of assumptions about quality of life and everything else, if you're not looking to pay 5 years from now, you're not doing a good compensation comparison. And yet nobody does this. So the idea that pay seems to be what drives, you know, 30, 40, 50% of some people's decision, and they're not even doing that well, again, it's a flawed analysis.
Yeah, I remember early in my corporate career, and this is when I was still learning. You know, I'd come out of the military. You know, both you and I went to West Point and I did my military thing. And so now I'm entering the corporate world. And I remember going from one job to another job. And the first job didn't have the opportunity for bonus stock options, that kind of stuff. And I could have gotten several promotions before having that opportunity at that company. And then I went to a company or interviewed for a position in another company where there was that opportunity at the level I was interviewing for. And I had gone through a significant part of the interview and sitting at lunch with the VP and the director who would be my boss, and the subject of the bonus pool and stock options came up. And frankly, I was so unprepared. I was absolutely stunned that there was an opportunity. So I had been thinking in terms of, okay, this one's going to pay me an extra $10,000 or $5,000. So I was thinking about that in the sense of my income. And then this whole new world of a significant increase in income came up. And I tell you what, my friends suggested to me that I should not go on the interview because this company had a reputation as being a sweatshop. And oh my God, the opportunities that unfolded as a result of deciding, yeah, what the heck, I'm going to go on the interview. Amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think overall, that's why we're going to keep this fairly simple and say, the reason to go or not go isn't to be gained by analysis because the analysis is so flawed. What we do is start with going and then try to talk yourself out of it unless you have compelling reasons not to go. And look, if it's a case of time, then push back and say, I can't go then. I'm busy. As a general rule, I should mention this. As a general rule, your week this week is your own. And if somebody calls you on Monday and says, I've got to interview you this week, and you say, I'm sorry, I can't, I'm fully booked. And they say, well, then it won't work. Then walk away from the opportunity because that person is not aware of the fundamental tenet, which executives are in charge of their calendar this week. Not to say that they couldn't make a change. And I'm not saying out of hand, just say, boo, no way. But generally speaking, you can push back on time, but, you know, go. The fundamental bias is go. And then unless you have a compelling reason not to, don't. And I'd be very surprised if I heard a lot of really compelling reasons I hadn't heard before. There aren't that many of them.
Now, you referred to this earlier as career opportunity management versus interviewing management or something like that. Why do you call it that?
Yeah, this is critical, I think, for people to understand when you think about careers. There are people who get it, the people who build networks and so on. And I know there are people who are listening to me now that when I talk about building a network, they roll their eyes and so on. Yeah, okay, I roll my eyes when I see really complex spreadsheets, but I read them and I check them. And we go over finances for the company. I ask questions.
Yes, you do.
Yeah, and frankly, that's not really where my passion is in the business. My passion in the business is managers and clients and revenue, and I'm not as good on costs. I mean,
well, as somebody who has to answer those questions you ask, I wish you had a little less enthusiasm, yeah. As little as you have.
Yeah, and actually, I still feel like I'm not paying as much attention as I should.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's funny. People who are listening are like, oh, I can't believe he's a top-line guy, not a bottom-line guy. And, you know, it's funny. We talk to people, and when you get to know them a little bit, they're like, well, I'm a bottom-line guy, or I'm a top-line guy, or I'm a new investment guy, or I'm a capital guy. It's just one of my weaknesses, and I'm aware of it. And being aware of a weakness is a good thing. Okay, so look, companies don't offer interview opportunities lightly. They absolutely see offering you an opportunity to come interview as an opportunity in and of itself, separate from the job. Either you've been vetted in some way by someone in HR or a hiring manager, and or their need is especially compelling, or you've been recommended by somebody at the company who was seen as an effective evaluator of talent, you know, frankly, probably due to their own high performance. You know, while it's not a big deal in terms of your decision, a friend or an associate who thinks highly of you and refers you, only to be told you're not interested, will probably be disappointed and may, in fact, you know, may get a roll of the eyes by the people who was desperate to have you come, you know, invite you to come interview. And look, one of the things that always surprised me, look, if you are referred by a friend for an interview opportunity, we recommend you mine your friend for information about job and company and interviews and interviewers well in advance. The fact that they have referred you means that they have a vested interest in you doing well, and they ought to be, maybe they won't be, but they ought to be smart enough to prep you a little bit for the opportunity.
And I can tell you from personal experience that it doesn't matter how you caveat your participation in the opportunity. You can say all you want, and I've done it, which I'm not really looking for another job. I'm not looking for an opportunity. They say, yeah, come interview anyways. And you do that three times with a single person, no matter how you caveat it, they're upset.
Yeah, yeah, exactly, yeah. Look, let's go further here when it comes to the opportunity, the management of the opportunity, the broader opportunity to change or grow or look differently at your career. Your career is unlikely to unfold as you've planned it. Almost no one we know, literally almost no one, maybe no one I know, has followed their original precise career plan that they had when they were 22 to 25 years old. Life intervenes, companies change, families change, goals change. Look, we want you to be both happy where you are and open to new opportunities. That's the important thing. Be happy where you are, but also be open to looking at things that maybe things could get 5%, 10%, 15% better, even if you think you have job nirvana. Now, look, I'm going to say that again. We want you to have both happiness and an openness to make it better. That's not normal thinking for many, many parts of your life. Most people, most managers, most professionals think of things as either here or there. I'm happy here, so therefore this is where I should stay. It's a black or white. It's an either or. But look, you're not supposed to feel happy in your marriage, but looking elsewhere too, right? Right. We're not supposed to be happy with the project we're working on, but pursuing a separate path too. We're not supposed to be pleased that this is the right task we should be doing and doing another one as well, adding to our workload. It's a little bit counter to the standard way most professional thinks to say, be happy where you are and still be excited about other, newer, different opportunities. Effective careers are a combination of a good current job plus good future opportunities. And by the way, that's plural, future opportunities, right? You don't only want one thing. You're unlikely to be able to predict where every opportunity is going to come from. So when one comes along that's unbidden, it behooves us to first say, hey, let's take a look. And as I've said before, I think many, many times on air, if you're interviewing for a job, someone has already decided that you have the ability to do the job at some level. You may not be a perfect fit, but you have the ability to do the job. And I think many people think, oh, I'll never be able to do that job. Well, they wouldn't offer it to you, and they know you better than you know them, even if only a little bit, and they know the job. They wouldn't offer it to you if it just wasn't going to work out.
Right. Well, and they're not going to offer it to you unless you actually go, right? You don't have an offer.
Yeah, yeah, good point. Yeah, good.
Which goes back to point one.
Yeah, exactly. So look, remember one of CareerTools' core pieces of advice about career searches. There are two parts to your search, getting offers and taking offers, or put differently, getting offers and then and only then taking offers. You can't take an offer you haven't gotten. Analysis of the worth of an offer is only valid after you have it, and worthless, first of all, it's invalid before you have it because you don't know enough yet, and so therefore your analysis won't be terribly good. But that analysis in advance is worthless before you have the offer because you're spending time thinking about what to decide rather than how to interview and get the offer. And if you don't get it, obviously your comparison is made moot by your inability to get it. When you're interviewing, you're essentially creating an opportunity. And it sounds weird maybe, but an external interview is an opportunity to create an opportunity. And we don't throw away the first part of that opportunity, the opportunity itself to create a new opportunity, which happens to be a job.
What if I'm a high kind of C guy and I'm thinking about risk versus opportunity. I want to think about opportunities, but there's risk as well.
Yeah, sure. Look, if you think about opportunities, you got to think about risk. That's a standard, you know, that's just fulsome planning. That's just the right way to do things. If you're thinking about risk, we think there are two. One is your present company finding out. Again, we're going to talk about that in a little bit. The other risk, in our opinion, is not going and not knowing, which is to say, of course, the opportunity cost of going / not going. And, you know, too often I think a lot of us, our risk analysis is on the bad stuff that could happen if you do something. And that's certainly an important part of risk analysis. But when it comes to careers, there's also risk in not taking advantage of opportunities. When we don't take advantage of the opportunities that come our way, right? We're not managing this. We're not magically making this happen. It's fallen into our lap. We run the risk of having a career that happens rather than one that we make happen. In today's world, frankly, though, careers don't just happen. They just don't. A string of jobs that seemed good at the time in today's self-managed career world is really not a career. It's just it's a string of jobs, and it's a recipe for underachievement. Now, you may be happy there, and that's great, but we don't see that as an effective use of your careers. And there's a part of us, and we're old-fashioned here at Career Tools and also at Manager Tools, we believe that it's almost a professional sin to have skills that you don't share with the world, with your directs, with your peers, with your boss, with your associates, with your colleagues. We believe if every manager minded the gap between what their folks were capable of and what they were actually doing and closed that gap, there'd be a lot less strife and discord and problems in the world. And if everybody managed their career focusing on the gap between what they're doing now and what they're capable of doing, there'd be a lot less inefficiencies in the world.
Talking about risk, back when we did the cast on internal interviewing opportunities, we said that, you know, saying no three times to internal opportunities, there's some risk there. It kind of indicated lack of interest on our part on new opportunities. Does the same thing exist in external companies? Say I look at a couple, two or three or four or five opportunities in an external company and say no each time. Is there a risk there as well?
Yeah, sure. Three is a good rule of thumb internally. Two is the rule of thumb externally from one company. If you say no twice to a given company, you're saying, you're no longer telling me you don't want the job or the location. You're telling me you don't want them. Now, it's not a hard and fast rule. It's a rule of thumb. There are some people who are in the right space and in the right with the right set of skills, and companies will continue to try to find something to bring them over to their firm. And then I ask four or five times, but it's unlikely that if you're listening to this, that you're that person. It's possible, but it's unlikely. In general, for most of us, saying no twice will probably reduce the chances that you'll ever be asked again to the point where you won't be asked. Look, there's something else, though, too. And this is where we get into the whole interview versus opportunity thinking. And if you're just seeing it as a job, an interview for a job, that's the narrowest possible analysis or conclusion you can draw from somebody talking to you about coming in, going somewhere else for another interview. We have to share another factor as well in these opportunities, and that is when you interview elsewhere, you create new relationships. And, you know, we've probably danced around this before, but relationships are the core of all new opportunities in your career. Look, everybody touted the electronic job boards, the monsters and so on, when they started because of their efficiency, right? They take a lot of slack out of the hiring marketplace. We love that, right? But frankly, we were always a bit skeptical here at Career Tools. Nowadays, after a few years of the systems running, folks say, don't put too much stock in your ability to get a job through the job boards, though obviously, yes, they are a part of your job search. Careers are essentially controlled and influenced by people. Efficiency, taking the slack out of the market, always takes a back seat to effectiveness. Because remember, you're not the market, you're an individual. In the same way that David Ogilvy once said that consumers are statistics, customers are individuals, you're an individual. If Monster doesn't help you, its efficiency and effectiveness is zero, even though there are people who find jobs that way. But really, careers are controlled and influenced by people. The people you meet when you're interviewing externally can become and will become, if you want them to be, part of your network. If you don't go, it's not just missing an interview for a job, you're missing relationship opportunities. Okay? And let's even go for a final point on this concept here. And it's actually maybe the most important, and I'm sorry we didn't put it first. We're saying here that you're thinking about an opportunity. Again, what we're not saying, and we alluded to this already, what we're not saying is that we're talking solely about a job. And that means if you see that external interview as only about a job, you might think narrowly, and therefore we think wrongly, that you can do a reasonable comparison once you know salary and a couple other things, right? But again, that thinking misses the point. When you go to an external interview, while the interview focuses on the job, the company is doing a larger analysis of you, which may turn up other opportunities that they were not thinking of before they met you. This is one of the key differences between external interviews and what amounts to internal interviews, right? Yeah, they're going to evaluate you for the job. They can't employ you without a job, right? And so they have to check that box. He can do the job. Before we offer it, let's make sure he can do the job, right? But they're also looking at your skills more broadly and whether you can grow and whether you're a fit elsewhere in the company and culturally too and those sort of things. In the event you're well prepared and they're highly impressed, other opportunities are often considered for you, which might still be offered to you even if you turn down the original job, right?
Yeah,
you exactly. may be interviewing for job X and they may discover job 2X is the one for you. And look, what this means is if you say no early, you're saying no not just to a job, you're saying no to other potential opportunities, and you're also saying no to potential new relationships. And relationships are a core part of career management anyway. And what would be bad about interviewing for one job, but having three or four more in the background potentially be available after they learn more about your fit and your skills? It is a dangerous habit to say no early. And that's why we started out by saying go. That is you having a hands-on approach to managing your career rather than simply staying where you are.
Hey, talk to me a little bit about going to an external company where it's either a change in specialty or a change in industry or might involve a skill set that you don't feel particularly comfortable in. Talk to me about that, because that causes a lot of trepidation and fear in folks.
Yeah, look, we've tried to be pretty strident about the near necessity of taking advantage of these external interviewing opportunities. But let's talk probably the most likely reason folks tell us for not taking advantage of them. Folks tell us, well, that job isn't in my industry. Or they say, you know, I'm X, that job is Y. You know, I'm an engineer, that job is sales. I'm in sales, that job is operations. That job is sales, and I'm in operations. You know, people just think, oh, that's not a fit. And again, we think that thinking is flawed. Because again, it's an analysis. That's what it is. It's an analysis of job, which is too limited. It's based on that old interviewing for a job mentality. We're interviewing to create an opportunity or multiple opportunities in our career, and only part of that is a job. Go back to what we said earlier about the two parts of job searches, getting offers and taking offers. Again, that's getting offers and then and only then taking offers. Even if the company decides to offer you a job that you've essentially decided you don't want, are you really good enough to know that now? Or are you willing really to completely rule out the chance that maybe it's the perfect opportunity? I would argue that you need more information, and the only way to get more information is to take advantage of the opportunity to go interview. Now, look, let's talk about specialties. I'm surprised this still holds on, and maybe it's only hold on people over 40, and younger people, younger than us certainly, have learned this differently. Although, frankly, when I think about Gen Y folks, there's a lot of people saying, you know, I want more opportunity, I want more opportunity, and they seem to have a bit of a vertical streak. So maybe it hasn't, you know, maybe it's not dead, this concept, the concept of verticality and only verticality. But look, every great career has been horizontal as much as it's been vertical. In other words, moving side to side in organizations and in industries, as opposed to just climbing a ladder somewhere. And executives, you know, as we get toward the top of our career, executives who are not well-rounded don't last very long. Almost every succession planning discussion we've ever been included in had a discourse about one or more of the candidates who needed some form of rounding out, of moving to a different part of the company to get the necessary skills they needed to allow them to run an entire business, right? You don't get profit and loss responsibility. You don't get a general manager ability without having the ability to manage revenues and costs and inputs and outputs, the entire piece of the business. As you move up in your career, the ability to move horizontally to fill in gaps in your portfolio becomes harder. The longer you wait, the harder it can be. What we like to suggest is don't think vertical career path, think successful executive. And successful executives know many, if not all, aspects of their organizations from personal experience, right? And they have relationships in all parts of the company that they can draw on when they have to. The person with the fast vertical career who says no to other opportunities or even no to other industries to some degree, you may get there a little bit sooner because you're doubling down your bet in your specialty, but you're hard-pressed to get others to carry your water when you're there, or you don't know the other executives as well as you could.
Yeah. You know, when it comes to different industries, remember, folks, that no company is going to make you an offer for an interview, let alone the job itself, unless they're impressed.
Right.
And we suspect you don't know a lot about the other industry. So why make a decision with limited information? Have you said that several times? And here it applies again.
Yeah. Look, if all you've ever wanted to do is be a newspaper woman, fine. You know, stay in that industry. We like that. We're not poo-pooing the idea that, you know, for instance, my daughter, Kate, likes the idea of a career in rocketry. Great. On the other hand, in that industry, you know, please move around a little bit so that you'll be ready to be a senior leader when it comes time to be a senior leader. But look, for most of us, we're not called into one particular industry. the rules are different. The roles are different at different industries. The relative power of roles is jumbled. You know, in software, it's about developers. In consumer products, it's brand managers and designers. In medical products, it's sales. In advertising, it's creatives. Have you ever thought that you're in a great job in a good industry, but your job in a different industry might be the job to have in that industry? And my guess is, our guess is, I bet you haven't, right? And so we would encourage you to just open your mind up a little bit to other industries. Now, think of it further. When you choose your industry, or when you chose your industry, the place you're at now, did you ask the 30-year question? And by the way, if you don't know what the 30-year question is, then you didn't ask it. And if you didn't, that's an indicator that maybe you didn't think through your industry choice. You just took a job. With a good company, mind you, but maybe not the one in the right industry.
I can't let you go past that, because otherwise our listeners are going to kill me. So tell me, what's the 30-year question?
Yeah, what's the likelihood that a career in this industry will be effective and robust for 30 years? You know, look, if you're thinking about joining the newspaper business right now in 2009, it's unlikely that that business is going to exist in anything near its present form in 30 years. I happen to love newspapers, but don't kid yourself. That's probably not the place to have a full long career. The best example of this that I know of is my good friend, John Hoffman, who I remember mentioning on a cast recently. John did not do well academically at West Point. He graduated very close to the bottom of the class. I was asked to tutor him in electrical engineering, and he made it, and then proceeded to have probably the most impressive string of career success in the Army I've ever seen. And he got out, and I helped him get a job with Applied Materials. You know, this was 20 plus years ago. And Applied Materials is a company that makes the machines, that makes the chips for companies like Intel. It's as high tech as you can possibly get. I think there are some equations in Applied's business that include Einstein's theory of relativity. That is freakishly complex and high level. And John is just, he'll admit, he says, look, I am not an intellectual guy. I'm not an academic guy. I'm just not that, you know, I'm not book smart that way. Greatest leader I've ever known, but not book smart. And when I said to him, you know, he interviewed at Applied Materials and did exceptionally well. That's a whole nother story. And I said, you know, what do you think about doing? He goes, look, I'd be crazy not to have a career at Applied Materials. There's no question that the high tech world, this is 1988, in the next 30 years is a no-brainer for careers. And I believe if the industry is growing, then that means there are more opportunities internally, which gives me more opportunities to have a great career. And of course he did. I mean, he's been a CEO or COO for the last 10 or so of the years. I mean, he had an incredible rise. And the fact that he's not a PhD didn't matter one darn bit. And it's not just because a lot of opportunities were created and he got overpromoted. Believe me, that's not the case. And he basically asked the 30-year question. He said, yeah, I could go over here and do paper company sales, or I could stay here and I can go to Applied and be in an industry that's going to be robust for 30 years. And if you're not asking that question, if you didn't ask that question that John did about your industry, then you may not have a good insight into what your industry is going to be like in 10, 15, 20 years. And maybe you should. And maybe there's a better industry for you and your skill set. We're not suggesting you have to. We're not suggesting you should. We're recommending you don't rule out opportunities in other industries simply out of hand.
Right. Okay. Thanks. I think that was instructive. And folks need to ask that question.
Right.
And it's hard to ask a question if you don't understand what it is. Okay. So our last point. Be quiet. Now, we say be quiet. I mean, we're talking about being quiet other than sharing with your close friends and, you know, your buddies at work. If you have lunch with somebody more than, maybe twice a month, it's probably okay to share with them the fact that you're interviewing externally, right?
You know, I was reading something a friend of mine, Peter Robinson, wrote recently, and he was a speechwriter for President Reagan, and President Reagan, of course, was fond. I think he was quoted as saying, I don't know if it was a debate with President Carter or something. So he chuckled and canted his head to one side and said, there you go again. No, we don't mean other than a few of your close friends.
So you're comparing me to Ronald Reagan. Good.
I am.
Excellent.
Yeah. Well done.
I'm moving on.
Yeah. A true, you know, the great communicator. We're going to say it because sometimes the things that go without saying need to be said out loud. Don't talk about your external interviews with anybody. Okay, your spouse. Okay, fine. Okay, but other than that, nobody. Okay. Now, look, we know you want to tell your best friend at your company. We know you're going to, in fact, even though we just said not to, and we sigh, you know, okay. Look, fine, go ahead, tell your best friend, but don't come crying to us when your boss finds out through some other third party, because there are no secrets here, or at least we heard that somewhere. Don't tell anybody. You can keep it quiet. You know, after the opportunity comes to fruition, great. But if you don't get an offer, you don't need to have told somebody. You know, look, folks, ask for vacation. Don't buy your plane ticket at work on your computer. Don't even buy it from your phone, right, at work. Leave time to change clothes for the trip somewhere other than work. Don't interview on your cell phone out in the parking lot where your boss is looking down from a second story window and go, well, why is Rob walking around talking on his cell phone outside? Don't interview at the nearest Starbucks to where you work now. You know, everybody else is going to think of it as a job interview, by the way. If you don't leave where you are and you've told them about the job interview, they're going to see it as a failure. You know, you may get an offer and choose to say no to it and see it as an opportunity to have learned a great deal more about another company and have created new relationships and have been hoping to get another offer be made to you about the job you really wanted, which wasn't the one you were interviewing for, and yet that's still a reason to go. And all of those things were positive, and yet other people are going to see it as a negative. So just don't share until after everything plays out. Be smart. Be silent.
Good. Awesome. Is there anything else you'd like to share with us before we wrap this thing
up? Yeah, actually, two final stories here that are worth relating. We try not to make manager tools and career tools about you and I, but rather about what effective people do and what is effective in the workplace as a professional. But the first story is actually about me. When I got out of the military, I interviewed with a recruiter. I was asked what I wanted to do, and I didn't know it at the time, but I was luckily right about thinking that what I wanted was really an opportunity and not so much a particular job. You know, I didn't know all the good reasons why to think that at the time. It just seemed the right thing to do at the time because, frankly, I was switching industries anyway, and I knew I didn't know a whole lot. You know, when I don't know a whole lot, I know I don't know a whole lot. So when I was asked what I want to do, I had a very simple, a very truthful, and a very wrong answer, which is, look, I'm an engineer. I did well in school, so I'm technical, and I've learned I'm a good leader. So it seems to me technical leader, leading people in a technical environment, ought to be in a plant somewhere in manufacturing and operations using these strengths. Now, if you know my background, how the heck did I end up selling toothpaste for Procter & Gamble, one of the toughest companies in the world to get hired by?
Yeah. How do you go from saying that to going to Procter & Gamble? That's what I want
yes.
to know.
Yes. Yes. Let me twist myself in knots. I said, no, it's really easy. The recruiter said, well, maybe you ought to consider other things, including sales. And luckily for me, I thought, what do I know to categorically rule something out? And so I said, sure, I'm open to other opportunities. I literally said, well, why not? I mean, you know, maybe if you're under the age of 30, you probably don't know a lot yet. And that's okay. I've said before, when I was 20, I thought I knew what was going on. And then when I got to be 25, I looked back and said, man, you didn't know anything when you were 20. But now at 25, you finally know. And then at 30, you look back and say, at 25, you didn't know anything. But now at 30, I finally know everything. And, you know, it's silly. It's a joke. And if you're laughing at me now, I'm glad. I hope it helps you remember this cast and what to do, what we're recommending. But look, you know, what's funny is for me is that when I started talking to friends and family about my career choices, everybody, of course, told me I should be in sales. And I was literally the last person to know. And maybe, just maybe, folks, you are too, about what industry and what company and what opportunity might be right for you. Let's not go around ruling things out too soon. Go on the interview. And look, my second story is kind of funny. This goes out to the young person who recently introduced himself to me in an airport while I was working on the outline for the cast. He told me he couldn't go to an interview he had been offered 6-7 months ago, I think it was, because he didn't have the money to front for an airline ticket in a hotel room. And so I gave him this answer, and I want to repeat my 3 points for everybody's benefit. Number one, we understand. It's tough to get started if this is early in your career and you're having an opportunity. Cash is dear and it's hard to build up. We understand. Okay. Number two, look, the company will pay up front if you ask them to. Any shame you might feel is trivial. They do it all the time, and they respect the cash flow situation you're in. It's no problem at all. And frankly, if they won't do it, you ought to raise an eyebrow. So go ahead and ask. It's fine. Just say, hey, look, can you get me a plane ticket? I'm being careful with money this month. And number three, start saving. We recommend 6 months savings, but this is an immediate goal we're shooting for, you know, $1,000 set aside to pay for a plane ticket. And frankly, if the company wants you to come early, come quickly, they know a plane ticket can be expensive because you're not getting it 7 days or 14 days or 21 days in advance. Okay, so those are my two stories. Thinking big picture here. External interviews are an opportunity to explore other options, even if you don't take advantage of them. If a company will give you an interview, at some level, that means they believe you can do the basic job, and they're trying to determine if you're a fit even more broadly than just the job. They understand that you're trying them out as well, though, of course, don't be confused about who's interviewing whom before you have an offer. Go. Do your best. Learn more. Decide what you're going to do if you get an offer. Turning an opportunity like this down early is a sign of career myopia, something every executive will tell you to guard against, and they wish they hadn't done it in their past as well. Yeah. And summing up the big points is, please do go. This is career opportunity management, not just job interview management. Don't worry as much as you think you might about changes in specialty in our industry. And then lastly, be quiet about it. Keep it under your hat.
Yeah, be smart about it.
Yeah.
All right, my friend. Thanks.
Thanks, partner.
We'll see you later. You know, interviewing is a mystery to most of us, and there's just a lot of bad advice out there. Distilled from our experience, the interviewing series will walk you through exactly what you need to do to prepare, what you need to say, how to say it, and how to follow up. No longer a mystery, our 15-hour podcast series providing actionable step-by-step guidance on getting your dream job is just what you need. To find out more and get the series, go to www.managertools.com and check out the product section on the homepage. All right, folks, we'll see you next week. So long.